Now, if you are here for the very first time, you're like going, how long is this going to last? And we don't usually have this much stuff. And, you know, when you've got three or four preachers on stage, I say no more. But anyway, well, I'm excited this morning to talk to you about God's Word for a few minutes this morning. And, you know, it's been a great weekend of remembering what God has done. And I appreciated the stories we just heard from all the folks that shared this morning. And God's done some incredible things in our midst. And we're excited about that. Anyone remember the good old days? You remember those? I went into the dictionary. Here's what the dictionary says when it comes to the good old days. It's looking back and believing that there were better times in the past. That we had better times. Maybe we had better health. Maybe we had better finances. Maybe we had better relationships. You know, those kinds of things. It's looking back. The good old days were those days when everything was going really good. Everything was going really great. And we probably all have seasons in our life when we look back and we think about how life was better. You know, I think about the good old days, and I remember back in the good old days when I could look down and see my feet without leaning over. Those are gone. I do, you know, we talk about the hair thing. I do remember a time in my life when I combed my hair rather than what I do now, which is place it. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of you know exactly what I mean about that. I understand that. I can remember when, you know, I could go to the gym and I could work out and I could go as hard as I could and come home and go to bed and wake up and not have one pain. And now, oh my goodness, I don't even have to go to the gym and work out, getting out of bed in the morning on cold days like this. There were better days, I'm telling you. The aches and the pains. It's real easy to look back and see the good old days, better days. I remember better days, good old days in my life when, you know, there are people who have passed away or passed on, and I miss them. Those were good days with some folks. I'm sure you can remember a few folks like that. We've talked about some of them maybe last night and today. The good old days. I can remember times when things seemed like they were easier. Things, you know, went better, and how, you know, sometimes today in the midst of, you know, sometimes when things get tough and things get hard and you feel like things are just difficult, and sometimes when you feel like you're losing, you know, we long for those days when we feel like we were winning. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I know what that's all about. Right, Rich? Yeah. Hey, the Chiefs haven't been to the Super Bowl in a while anyway. Okay, anyway. You know, I mean, we look back on days when things were better and easier, I think, in our minds. I think sometimes when we look back on those days, we think about how these days don't measure up to those days. I mean, if those were the better days, if those were the best days, if those were the really incredible things when we saw super stuff happen, it's sometimes easy to believe now, like, well, then that'll never happen again. It can never be that good again. Those were the good old days. Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes when we think about tomorrow, when we think about how difficult today is, it's real easy, you know, when times are unpleasant and things are a little bit more difficult. You don't have your health and you don't have your money and you don't have those relationships. Things get uncomfortable and unpleasant. It's really easy to look back and long for those good old days and feel like, you know, what do these days hold? It's real easy to get kind of negative on these days because today's not like yesterday was. We go through seasons, right? Love spring, life, summer, go out and enjoy things, but then fall comes, things start to die, and then winter hits in Kansas, and everything dies, and we like go, I really long for spring, and there's some days we like think, is spring ever going to come again? This weekend, we've reflected on our history, and it's an awesome history. There's some incredible things that have happened, lives that have been changed, and I wasn't joshing when I told Ron to look out here and see, because when God lays a vision on a person's heart, and then you see 75 years later all the incredible stories of things that God has done here in Topeka, I mean, if you've been around for a while, you've seen those things. You've witnessed those things. Some of the stories that were told this morning, you remember those because those were good days, life-changing days, right? You saw the history in the pamphlet we put together. It started from that Sunday school class. It started because God put a vision and this need and this burden that Ron talked about in his dad's heart to reach people. And it's a great thing. And we celebrate the history, the story of God that has played out over these last 75 years. And we celebrate those victories. We rejoice in them. We're thankful for them. Families have been restored. Marriages were put back together. Ministries that have impacted, our whole area. You think about the Passion Play for 21 years, the impact that it had on. Well, our church has literally had an impact on thousands of people over these 75 years, thousands and thousands of people. We've made a difference right here in Topeka. And we thank God for how his story has unfolded in our midst. And we're privileged to be a part of it. I know I've only been here 2.5 years, but I count myself it's a blessing to have been a part of just a small part of this 75 years and all that God is doing. And some of you that are newer, listen, I know you're hearing stories of way back, but if you've come in the last 2.5 years, listen, you're a vital part of this story as well. We're all a part of what God's doing, how his story is unfolding, and we're grateful. Grateful for the difference he's made in our neighborhoods, our families, our workplaces, our schools. For how his story has played out. But as we stand here today, I have a question for you. Can God do it again? I mean, is all that God has for us the good old days? Or does he have more? You know, in life, often when we go experience change, you know, we are guilty at times of thinking because things are different that they'll never be the same, right? I'm getting older, and as I get older, my life is changing, you know? And like I just said to you, I can't do the things I used to could do, you know? And the grandkids were here last weekend, and there is a reason that God gives children to young people, right? Oh, we have to rest after 3 days. It's just like, oh, Lord, we just sleep and, you know, I don't bounce back like I used to. So sometimes I wonder, what if my best days are behind me? You ever do that? You ever not feel so well, or you ever feel tired and worn out, and you go, what if my best days are behind? What if I'm never able to do the things that I used to be able to do? Is there anything good out there for me? Sometimes we wonder that as a church. Because see, for us, decline feels like dying. Decline and not being able to do what we used to. I know I don't look like it, but I used to be a pretty decent basketball player. And I'll tell you what, I stink now because my skills have so deteriorated with my age. Like I said, when I work out at night, I just feel like I'm dying. It's like I always, when I go in, Colaw, if you're not from here now, it's a new place. And my wife signed me up because she knows my heart. They have, if you go 12 times a month, it's only $5. If you don't, it's $18. Knowing that I'm a cheapskate, she knows my deepest motivation. So, but I go in there and I always make sure they have an oxygen tank somewhere because I may need it because I don't want to die there, you know? So sometimes when I go through stuff like that, it feels like I'm losing, like I've lost something. And here's the thing, when it feels like I've lost something, when it feels like I'm falling behind the curve, when it feels like I can't do the things I used to be able to do, I have three temptations that I fall into. Maybe you do too. One of those is this. I tend to deify the past. I mean, I tend to glorify the past. The older I get and the more my abilities deteriorate, the stories of what I used to could do get bigger and better. I've heard some of yours. Like there's that time that I sacked the quarterback twice in one game in high school. And then when I hit my 30s, it was 3 times. And when I hit my 40s, it was 4 times. And yes, I'm 56, and I sacked that quarterback 5 times, the way I remember it. My grandfather was a fisherman. And so my grandfather, he would all the time, the one that got away kept getting bigger the older he got. We started here, and he could do it on his arm, you know what I mean? He'd do it, hit that one, it was that big. By the time Papa was 75, it was, that one that got away was this big. Our stories get bigger, you know. We tend to glorify the past. We tend to glamorize it. Those were the good old days. And while there were some great things, if we're not careful, the good old days weren't always the good old days. Sometimes they were hard. Listen, I got to tell you, the good old days weren't necessarily better. I like having a map on my phone, okay? Remember those big atlases we used to carry around? All right, yeah, you remember that? Or you had to have like 10 paper maps in your, you know, your glove box that you had to have. I'm glad to not have those anymore. I realize that retailers hate Amazon and feel like they've ruined the world. Personally, I love ordering anything from any place of any design or any color that I want and getting it in 2 days. It's a good thing to me. I love binging on Netflix. Let me tell you, when I was a kid, we had 3 channels and we had to pick them up with rabbit ears. You remember those? I don't miss rabbit ears. That part of it's not good of the good old days, right? There are some things here. The past was not always glamorous, but we're tempted to forget how hard it was and glamorize it and only forget the good parts. Only remember the good parts, I mean. We forget the sacrifices we had to make. Sometimes we forget the struggles that we somehow had to endure. This is a great building that we're in, but I know there were a lot of sacrifices made to get it there. Sometimes we just, if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to kind of forget how hard the past was, and we'll tend to deify it. Now, sometimes we're also tempted to deny the present, right? There are some rocks I just don't want to turn over. I'd rather wear earmuffs sometimes than, you know, to know how bad the world is. I'd just rather not see. I'll tell you how I do this. I do this with my weight. See, here's the thing. If you want to ask me how I'm doing with my weight problem, I'll say fine. You know why? I don't weigh. If I don't weigh, I don't have to know. They do not get this at the doctor because at the, I don't know about your doctor, but at my doctor, they bring me in. First thing they do is set me on the scale, and then they take my blood pressure. Of course I have high blood pressure. You just weighed me. I mean, take my blood pressure first and then weigh me. I will have no blood pressure problem, I promise. Right? We don't want to know. Right? I'd just rather not even, just don't even. I don't want to ask the questions. You know what I mean? I'm tempted to turn away and not look and stay so, maybe I just busy myself so much I don't have to deal with it. So it's easy. Sometimes we just, you know, I'm tempted to deny the present. And the last thing is, sometimes I'm just tempted to doubt the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how things are going to turn out. I hate uncertainty, don't you? I really do. And so sometimes when things are hard and I'm feeling like I'm losing ground and I feel like things are difficult, I start to doubt the future. Am I going to have what I need? Am I going to have what it takes to make it in my life? And what happens is there, very often, I've developed this negative outlook in life because hope is hard. And some of us, sometimes, I don't know, I'm tempted to do this. I would rather not hope than to hope and be disappointed. So those are the temptations. I don't know if you go through them. I think we go through them at times as a church to deify what God once did, to deny our present reality, to cover our eyes and ignore where we are, to doubt the future. And when we doubt the future, it tends to lead to you and I living unsure, confused, insecure, uneasy, all those things. There's a lot of that in our world today, isn't there? Can whatever God wants to do today in us, whatever God wants to do at Fair Lawn Church of the Nazarene in the future, can it be as good as what we heard this morning about our past? Is this all God's got? Or does he have more for us? There's a passage of scripture in Romans 8, and I've read it a gazillion times. Matter of fact, when I was a Bible quizzer as a teen, we memorized this verse. It's Romans 8:15. In the NIV, it says this: the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. It's a great scripture, but a lot of times for me, it just kind of laid there. Until recently, I heard somebody talking about it in the message. Look at this. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" And I think in this verse of Scripture, and particularly the way Peterson has put it, you know, the Message is a paraphrase, but I think the way that he's put it here reminds us today of what, because there may be some of us today, I think as us as a church, I mean, I know we've looked past and it's been wonderful to do that, but we also have to think about the future. What's God got for us in the future? And can it be as good as our past? Can it be even greater than our past, perhaps? What's God got for us? It will certainly look different, but will we embrace it? And how do we embrace it? I'll say this to you this morning. If you're here and, you know, you came back and you're going to, you know, drive home maybe into another state and you've got a trip after you, this is something, though, you can apply in your own life and think about this morning. Because sometimes, right, we get caught in those situations in our lives where, you know what, we begin to think, well, nothing can happen. Again, we glorify the past and we don't really, we have trouble dealing. Maybe you're having trouble dealing with your present. Or maybe you're scared about the future. If you're here this morning, you're not even a Christ follower and you walked in the door for the first time. This is something in your life that I want, that we, as we walk through this, you can see in your life, maybe you've got places where you're doubting and wondering. Look at what this scripture has to say. This resurrection life you received from God. There are two things I cannot do. One of those is forgive sin, and the other is avoid death. Can't do either one. No matter how much I try to be better, do better, live better, no matter how much I try to compensate for my sin, no matter how much I try to reimburse people for what I've done against them, no matter how much I try to atone for myself, I can't repay, I can't make up for my sin. I need help with that because I'm incapable. And I know this, I will die one day. I am 7 days closer to my death than I was last Sunday. It's that's what happens to us. It's part of life. I can work out. I can eat right. I can go vegan. You know, I'm not going to do that. And if don't do that till after we eat lunch today because it's really good. I can do all that. I saw on the internet the other day that you can live longer if you floss. I had no idea. I would have done that years ago. Anyway, I can do, some of you are going to check my teeth today, aren't you, when you're going to look, see. I can do all kinds of things to prolong life, but I can't avoid my death. My only hope for both my sin and for my life, my death, is the resurrected life that I receive from God. Earlier in Romans 8, verse 10, for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you still live in these earthly bodies and you still, things happen, even though you experience those limitations, you yourself experience life on God's terms. And it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. And when God lives and breathes in you, and he surely does, as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. What a powerful truth that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. It lives in my life. And when I'm tempted to, see, when that power lives in me, I don't have to glorify the past because God's going to do some incredible things right now. When I don't have to overblow it. I don't have to overtell it. You know what? I don't have to worry. I don't have to deny what's going on right now because God's bigger than that. I don't have to worry about, I don't have to have any doubt for the future because the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, his spirit, his power lives in me and he is able to take care of it all. Amen? And here's the thing, that hope lives in us. That hope has lived in us for 75 years, and it doesn't matter if it's 75 years or 175 years. That is what our church should always be about, that hope that lives in us, the same hope in every building that we've ever worshiped in, we've celebrated that same hope. The same hope that was celebrated in every worship service, every Sunday school class, every passion play performance still lives in us. And when I am tempted, man, to glorify the past and deny my present and doubt my future, I need to remember the resurrection life that I received, that he put in me, that same power will focus me forward and empower me for today and will give me hope for tomorrow. That this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. My mom had me when she was 16. She says to me, she says, Brian, when I die, she says, I don't want an open casket. I said, why? She said, because I don't want people gawking at me. I said, Mom, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to see. She said, well, I don't want that. And I said, well, look, I'm concerned about paying for your funeral. So I said, I have a taxidermy friend. And what I'm planning on doing, Mom, is I'm going to have you stuffed and set in a chair, and we're going to let little kids sit in your lap for $5 take their picture, because I got to pay for the funeral. My mother looks at my wife, Luann, and she goes, Luann, don't you let him do that. I don't even know if that's legal. Probably is in some states, but anyway. There's too much grave tending in the church today. I mean, it's not just over programs and ways of doing things. There's too many graves of old hurts, of old wounds, of injustices, of pain. There's way too much grave tending of dead dreams, of lost hopes. We tend the graves so often of failures and disappointments. We hang on to them and we try to keep them alive instead of calling them dead and moving on. Listen, the resurrection life isn't for grave tending. It is for bringing life. It's for reanimating. It is for re-energizing. It's for rebirth. It's for restoration. It's for renewal, for reawakening. It's for revival. That's what this resurrection life is about. And you can't experience resurrection until you call something dead and move forward. You can't have a resurrection unless you let go. Lou has a rule at our house. I can't buy a new shirt unless I throw an old one away. Thankfully, I haven't let her know when I buy a new shirt, but it's kind of biblical. It's hard to argue with. You know what? God gives us things, and you know what? It's great. We should hang. But you know what? Sometimes we got to set things down to embrace something new. God's got something new he wants to give us. That resurrection life is about something new, and sometimes we got to set some things aside in order to do that. You hanging on to anything that's dragging you down? You hanging on? You tending any graves? The resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant. Would you describe your life like that? Would you describe our church, your community group, your marriage, that we are adventurously expectant? Too often we live with this idea of we expect another problem, right? Here comes another problem. You know, we start complaining and we grumble. Some of us think grumbling is a spiritual gift. It's not. What's your spiritual gift? Well, I'm never satisfied and happy. And it's something I've been working on for years. And I took a test and that's what it said I had. So anyway, God wants us to live adventurously expectant. Let me ask you something. You're on a roller coaster, and you're going up that first big hill, right? Who would you rather go with? Would you rather go with a guy who has his eyes closed, and he's hanging onto the rail, and he's screaming, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die? Or would you rather sit beside the side and go like, man, hands up in the air, eyes wide open, shouting, this is the greatest day of my life? I'd rather go with him than the other guy. I remember, we have two kids, you know, you're talking about ordained, both my kids are ordained in the ministry and serving the Lord. And I remember when they were little, they used to love to go through the car wash. You know, every time I go through one of those automatic car washes, you know, my car gets scratched. So I always have these little, like, I'm having an anxiety attack. Kids are in the back going, wow, that's cool. Bop, 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 you know. Or we go look at Christmas lights. My daughter, oh man, she loved Christmas lights. And it didn't matter. We'd go by a house where the Christmas lights were half hanging down and half of them were out. And it looks like a drunk put them up. And she'd go, ah. Where did we lose our awe? It's easy if we're not careful that we forget. We need to recapture the adventurous expectation of seeing people find Jesus, of loving people, of caring for people, to rekindle the wonder of the tiniest of victories, that whatever we do is worth it. We get so kind of caught up in this idea that it's the big numbers, right? Things are successful, a bunch of people come. But that's not what God looks at. What God looks at is he looks on each heart. And it's the tiniest victory in every life. It's moving somebody from the brink of divorce to having hope for their marriage. It's finding somebody who takes one step closer to following God and to coming back to him. It's the wonder over God at work in one person's life. I planted potatoes when we were in college beside the house before Lou Ann moved in. We got married because she didn't really think I was a very good gardener. So anyway, but we had these potatoes. And you know what I learned about potatoes? You know, you can't see them. So I was like, how do you know the potatoes are done? And so, I looked at it, did some investigating. And, of course, it has a plant that grows up in flowers. You know how the potatoes are ripe and ready to be dug up whenever the foliage dies. And I think sometimes we look at people and the foliage is dying and we kind of go, well, that was a waste. When in fact, God's been doing something underneath that we have no idea. He's been growing something inside. See, we serve a God who said, you know what? I'll leave the 99 to go find the one. We have a God who said, you know what? I get excited over one lost coin that's found. Listen, I've been in the back when they've been counting an offering. We get only excited when there's a bunch of bills that haven't been counted yet, okay? But God gets excited about one lost coin, and he cares about one lost soul. We got to get back to this point where every little life matters and every little thing matters. One step somebody takes towards Jesus, the wonder of it all. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? My granddaughter Olivia last weekend, we get done doing something. She said, what's next, Papa? And I go, well, a nap for Papa. You go in there and play with yourself. I'm taking a nap because that's where we are. I love the fact that she's so adventurous. I love the fact that she's so ready for anything. And I so want to be that way with God. God, what do you got next? Man, I love what you've given me. I love what we've done. But God, I don't want it to be over. What do you got next for me? What do you got next? Let me give you three things real fast before I close. Three things. How do you reorient yourself, right, to this new life? How do you adjust? Well, instead of defying the past, we need to be humble about it. You know, it's humbling to me. I'm so glad that Roy came back. I'm so glad that Dave came back. I'm just one of, I saw that sheet. I'm just one of so many pastors that have been a part of this. And you're just one of so many other people. You, the other people paid the price, made the sacrifices, and did the same. And so it's not all about me. It's all about us. And there'll be other, I hope there are other people when we celebrate our 175th. I don't know if we'll be here or not, but I hope down the road there are other people that we're just part of God's family and God's working. And so it's not all about me. I need to be humble and realize that I'm just the next generation. Need to be honest about our present. I mean, let's just look at it and be honest and say, God, I'm not scared of my present because I know you've got me. I know you're going to take care of me. And let's be hopeful about our future. The resurrection life of God lives in us. What could God do through us in the next 75 years? 75 years from now, when this church is celebrating all that God has done, what stories will they tell about what God did in us and through us? What stories will they tell about the way that we impacted our community? What stories will they tell about the way in which God changed hearts and lives? When we started our church in St. Louis, when we planted it, our grand opening Sunday, I met Jim and Jessica Hawkinson. They had come from a mailer that we had done. They saw that we had free Krispy Kreme donuts. It's a great way to build a church. And we had the meal afterwards, and I met them as we were eating, much like we're going to be doing here in a minute. Jessica had a Buddha on her neck. Jim had grown up in a very destitute, broken family, horrible conditions. He didn't know anything about God. He didn't know anything about Jesus. In the first year of them coming to our church, I got to baptize Jim and Jessica. And they had a baby, a little baby girl named Rachel. Rachel now is in high school. She's driving. It's scary. I used to tell people all the time that if New Life failed tomorrow, if our church plant failed tomorrow, it was worth it all for Rachel to grow up in a Christian home. And I meant it. I would spend my life for one soul. Would you? Would you give your life for one soul to be changed? For one life to be transformed? For one person to be snatched from the gates of hell? Would you be willing to lay your life down for one person? Because I guarantee you, there are lots of them out here. We're not done yet. You know why? Because there's plenty of folks that don't know about Jesus. And there's plenty of folks that don't know the transformation. There are plenty of folks who are hurting. There are plenty of broken places in Topeka for us to reach people. We got a long way to go. We can do it if we'll be humble about our present, if we'll be honest about our, humble about our past and honest about our present and hopeful about our future. The resurrection power lives in us. Oh God, would you use that resurrection power to make a difference in my world? I want us to pray this morning and talk to God for just a minute. And I, you know, this morning maybe you're here and maybe you're part of this church on a weekly basis. I just wonder this morning if there might be somewhere in your life where you go, you know what? I've been a little bit too caught up in my past and I haven't wanted to face my present. And I've been scared about the future. And I today want to embrace that resurrection power that lives in me so that I can have courage for tomorrow, so I can face what's going on right now, to know that me and God got this. Maybe this morning you're here and you've been a Christian and you live somewhere else and, you know, you're going to go home today. And maybe you've got a situation in your life that's the same thing that you're scared about. There's fear. There's trouble, and maybe it's become so discouraging that you're afraid to believe again, that God can do it again, like we sang about. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. I want you to know this morning that the resurrected life makes all the difference. That Jesus died on the cross for your sins so you can be forgiven, and all this stuff we've been talking about today, all these things we've been singing about, can be real in your life. There is hope today in the resurrected life of Jesus. And if you'll embrace it and ask him to forgive you for your sins and that you want to follow him, God can change your life this morning. Could we bow our heads and pray this morning for just a minute? Father, we are grateful and thankful for you. If you hadn't have loved me, I don't know who would have. If you hadn't have found me, I would have stayed lost. If you hadn't changed me, oh God, if you hadn't changed me, can't imagine where I would be. If I didn't have you, I wouldn't have hope this morning. I thank you for the resurrected life. I thank you for your gift to us. And God, we pray this morning. First of all, I pray for that one today who may be here who's not a Christ follower, that today, Lord, as they talk to you, as they express to you that they need that hope, they want that hope, they're tired of hopeless living, that they need to be forgiven and they want that resurrected life this morning. to live in them, that as they asked you to forgive them for their sins and let what Jesus did on the cross count for them, that, Father, today they might be redeemed, saved, changed, that, Lord, they might turn and follow you as a follower of Jesus Christ. You can do that right now if you're here this morning. Just ask him. Just tell him, God, I want that resurrected life in me. I want that hope in me. I need forgiveness today. God, for some of us, Lord, we've got situations and circumstances in our life and they have overwhelmed us. And we've gotten to where we expect things to not go well. We've gotten to where we've become overwhelmed and overcome. And Father, we forgot that the resurrected life is in us. So God, this morning, would you help us to access that resurrected life? Forgive us, Lord, for doubting you. Forgive us for letting the enemy clutter our hearts and our minds. May we focus in on you again and what your word has had to say to us today. Father, may we experience that resurrection power in every circumstance, in every situation, in our marriages, in our relationships with our kids, at work, Father, our relationships with others. Oh God, may we experience that in the church today. Thank you for the 75 years of Fairlawn Nazarene Church. And God, thank you for the next 75 years you're going to give us. May we live in that resurrected power. May we not doubt you, but may we have confidence and courage, Lord, that the next 75 years are going to be as good or better than the last 75 years, that you're not done with us yet, that we're only beginning to experience that in our life. May the same power that raised Jesus from the dead flow through us and out of us into our community, that we might bless it and the kingdom might come to light. May you be glorified and honored by our lives. That's our prayer, Lord, this morning. And Father, if it's just one person, show me that one person. Show me that one person to be the light. We love you today, and we give you all the thanks and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell you what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing a song. This is part of our response today. We used to sing this more when I first came here. We haven't sang it as much lately. But is that song, it says, same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We're going to declare that right now. And so I hope this morning you hang with me, and then we'll come back and give you a few instructions and pray for the meal, and then be dismissed so you can all hang out and connect with one another. But I want us to sing this song as a testimony that we believe that same power tonight, today, lives in us. Let's lift it up to him.